Blog Talk Radio.
To all of you who have been listening to the PRF table in the past, and welcome to another year, 2014, and yes, we are back by the grace of God. This is the PRF table, and we are on the We Speak Radio Network of Blog Talk Radio. I'm Minister Dunlap. Across the table from me is Brother Reverend Warren Feaster, and across the table from him is Sister Adia Sanders. So I'll bring those two up in a minute, but we just want to say thank you for joining us this evening, and we have a good show for you tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about progress in 2014. That's the title of tonight's show, Progress in 2014. And I can say this discussion tonight is really something that has been sparked from last week's theme, which was prosperity and progress. So if you missed that show, you can go on Blog Talk Radio under the We Speak Radio Network and look for all the PRF table shows. So what we want to do is just let you sit back, relax, but hopefully you'll join in on the conversation. So, again, thank you for attending with us, and let me just go to the other two part of this trio. So let me go to Brother Warren Feaster. How you doing this evening, bro?
I am doing great. Enjoyed my Christmas holiday season, and I am excited about the 2014 because I'm glad that 2013 is over. So I am ready. I say let's get it on. Let's do what we come to do.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And Adia, my cousin, how are you doing this evening, and welcome back.
I'm doing good. Thank
you. For a minute there, I didn't think you was going to be able to make it. For those of you who don't know, Adia is getting ready to do some traveling tomorrow, so we are very fortunate enough to have her with us this evening. So without further ado, let's get into the show tonight. Again, like I said, the show for tonight is called Progress in 2014, and we want to throw out some questions so that we can stimulate the conversation, let you know where we're going this evening. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about setting priorities and getting your PRF profile in place for 2014, and that was because that's what Adia had brought us brought to the table from her spirit. And as we reached the point of December 31st, and as some people were having watch night service, and some people who don't call it watch night service, just call it New Year's Eve service. But whatever you call it, whatever you do, whatever you did, I venture to say that most people in America had some expectations that there was going to be some things that were going to be better in 2014 than they were in 2013. And I am one that believes that we really should be thankful for not a different day on the calendar, but for every day that God gives us breath, every day that God gives us life. Needless to say, 2014 is a big year, big thing because, or big deal, because it is going into a new calendar year, and people have those expectations, especially believers, that God is going to do miraculous things in 2014. God is going to bless those businesses, give that promotion, bless the finances, restore the marriage, restore the family structure. All of those things are expectations that so many of us have going into the next calendar year. However, what we're talking about tonight is, what is it going to take for your economic situation to progress in 2014? That's the overarching theme or the overarching question for this evening. What is it going to take for your economic situation to progress in 2014? And as we go throughout today's show, we're going to also speak to a couple other questions. So let me go to Brother Feaster, because I really want to start there. And to hear what your thoughts are, Brother Feaster, and Sister D, if you wanted to jump in, please feel free.
I think we have forgotten about something that recently happened that's possibly about to re-happen. And I know that's bad English, but it sounds so good. That I think since it's going to start at the beginning of the year, it's really going to wake us up. If we remember, the government shut down October last year. And it was, if I remember correctly, a 90-day, 100-day, 3 months, and then we was going to be right back through it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what's going to be it for a lot of people. And it's going to really, I mean, if it had impact that it had in October, I really believe it's going to have the exact same impact that it did in October that it's going to have when it comes back. And as I bring this thing personal, how did it impact me? I mean, it really impacted me in numerous ways. And this time it's going to impact me even more because around that time that it's supposed to happen again, I am due to relocate to another duty station. And the last time that this happened, everybody that was due to relocate got halted abruptly at that, you know, at the last minute. So I don't know where I'm going to be going on or how it's going to directly impact me, but I know that the way it impacted me last time is going to impact me this time. And with that being said, even though it's going to affect my relocation, it's going to be a ripple effect. It's really going to be a ripple effect. So right now, I see that what happened with the government shutdown in October and everything that went through in October is going to be a ripple effect to everything that, I mean, not a ripple effect, but a repeat for everything that I went through in addition to that. And I sadly say that because I took little to no measures from the last one to prepare for this one. So that might be, for me, what it's going to do for me. I will say over the Christmas holiday, I did talk to my wife about, I know we discussed this the last time I was on, about a living will and a will. So, I mean, I at least made those preparations. But for the government to do what it's projected to do, I made little to no preparations on that. Really none. And that's going to happen real soon. So what a good way to start 2014, huh?
Well, you know what? I was having a conversation with a young lady earlier today. And it's amazing because you and I haven't talked. We just connected a few minutes at the table right before the show. And one of the things that I actually mentioned was the government shutdown. And what I mentioned to this young lady was the fact that what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about progress. And it's amazing where you went. You went backwards, right?
Right.
The question was, what is it going to take for your economic situation to progress 2014. So let me say something here. Since you have looked back into 2013, you look back at the devastation of 2013, you looked at how it affected you and the children and all these other soldiers that you know of. Let me give a scripture that I think is where I want everybody to hold on to, not just for this show, but I want everybody to hold on to this scripture for the rest of the month. And it's Luke 9:62, and I'm sure you're going to go get it, Brother Feaster, but let me read it. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God.
I just read that.
And let me tell you why that's so important. This is what God dropped into my spirit a couple of days ago. There is so many people that may have the mindset that things are not going to get better, have the mindset that destruction is coming, have experienced some things in 2013 that were not so pleasant, right? But we're talking about, everything we're talking about on this show is really about what are we doing for the kingdom of God. That's where we're coming from, right? We can't be the ones looking back. We got to be the ones trying to encourage folk, which is what I'm going to do, what I'm aiming to do right now with you. We know the government shutdown happened back in October.
Right.
But God is bigger than the government shutdown come February 1st or February 3rd, whatever the date is. And yes, these wahoos have to go back to the drawing board and make a decision, on what the future of, quote-unquote, the government is going to be. But we are in the world, but we're not of the world. So something key that you did say, which I think is relevant, and I'll be quiet and let you jump in, Adia. One of the things that you did talk about, which I think is real critical, is that you took little measures from the last time. And that's why this question of what is it going to take for the economic situation to progress in 2014 is, to me, you know, anybody can disagree with me, I'm fine with that. But to me, that's why that is such a valid question. Because I don't believe that many have taken the necessary steps or precautions, got some relief back in October. So I believe there's a lot of people that may not say what you just said, Brother Feaster, out loud, but probably are thinking it, or maybe not even going to think about it until it's time for Congress and Senate to have a vote on this thing, right? So let that be my encouragement to you, brother, and everybody else out there. We have to put our hands onto the plow, and we have to move forward. That's not saying we ignore everything that happened, but we have to be willing to ask the question, okay, I know what happened last year. I know what happened in 2003. I know what happened in October or those 16 days during the government shutdown. But what is it that we need to be doing right now to prepare for going forward? So with that, Sister Dia, go ahead. I'll let you just jump on in here.
Well, I really like the topic, and I'm excited to actually be on tonight. Because earlier I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's done worked in investments and different things, and I was just sharing with him. I said, you know, I said, I want to invest this year. And he was just saying, you know, a lot of people, I said, but I'm scared. And what I had to understand, I was going back to when I turned 30, like I had started my TSP, you know, in the Army or whatever, but I was scared to do that. And the reality of it was that I felt like if I start investing, if I start saving, that literally I would be taking money out of my family, out of my household. And it wasn't until literally I turned on my 30th birthday, which was only about to be 3 years ago, that I really believe that it was the voice of the Holy Spirit that said, no, you've had the wrong mindset. You have had a mindset that just absolutely, that made no sense. And basically, he just said, you're not taking from your family when you save. You're saving for your family when you save. When you invest, you're looking, you're planning for the future. Because I don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't know what the cost of living is going to be. But by investing financially for the future, I am preparing for the future. I don't know what doors may be open. And so for me, that was a wake-up call because I had lived in fear for so many years. I was literally scared to save. I was literally scared to progress. But I knew that I didn't want to stay where I was. So this year I have set out, I said, besides, you know, I still have my list. I said, besides, you know, I really want to work even harder to pay off my debts and stuff like that. I got two in particular. I want to pay off my debt so that I can start investing and taking the chance and stepping out really on faith because I don't know a lot, but I know people who know a lot who are going to educate me, but also are going to help to lead and guide me in a direction that I need to go because I have a desire for it. And the scripture that comes to mind for me is Mark 11:24, where Jesus was talking, and he said, and when you pray, if you believe that you have received them, them being plural, then ye shall have them. And so for me, in order to progress financially and economically, is to believe that I'm going to receive whatever it is that's in my heart, whatever it is that I'm desiring, I believe that I'm going to receive it. So not just the finances, but the people that I need, I believe that God is going to send them to educate me, to give me the information that I need to help me to make a sound decision because I don't know, but I'm willing to know. And so I am thankful for that. And the scripture that you said was just so right on. I can't even remember what I was doing, but I read that sometime this week, I can't even remember. So I was like, oh, my gosh, like, It's just those moments where God will confirm and let you know that you're right where you need to be. And it was just today that I was looking at it, just talking about investing, not just the thought, but actually talking about it. And so this is something that I am actually definitely going to do, and I thank God for that. And I'm getting off because I got background noise, y'all. Bless his name.
Okay. You sound good on my end. So you know what? Let me, Bro Feaster, you still there with us, bro?
I am.
What's on your mind, my brother? What's on your mind? And let me say this. For those of y'all who may be new to the PRF table, this is how we do it. We sit around at this table, and we invite other people to come in and join into the conversation. So if you're listening, you want to join in, press 1 on your dial pad, 1 on your telephone, or you can go to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. Post a question or your comment. I promise you we'll read them on the air as long as we get it before the end of the show. But go ahead, Brother Feast. I just wanted to put that out there so that people understood why we're doing what we're doing and how we're doing the PRF table.
I actually, the whole time Adele was speaking, I was thinking about I didn't make any preparations. So I'm sitting here trying to figure out, well, I came to the realization just that quick that even though I had not made preparations already, I still have time. So it's not like it's, you know, it's I'm out of time. I actually have time. I just have to figure out what I have to do. Me and my wife have to sit down and make some, do some talking and make some preparations while I still have time. And that's really what I was thinking about the whole time. You know, it's still, I mean, even though, you know, a lot of people make these New Year's resolutions, which the majority of the ones are probably already fell off the bandwagon with their New Year's resolution. But even though many people make New Year's resolutions, it doesn't mean that the New Year starts on January the 1st, and that's the only time you can start over. You know,
right.
So even though, yeah, and that's always, that's why I stopped making New Year's resolutions, because come June, well, I don't want to wait till January to do something new. But anyway, so I was sitting here just thinking, you know, what kind of steps, what kind of measures, what are things that I can do and need to do between now and then to prepare for that? Because for me, that's going to be a very huge hurdle that I'm going to have to jump over, and it's going to be a major effect at that time, and really everything else is going to take a back seat to it. So that's really what I was thinking about while Dave was talking. So my mind is running on exactly, you know, what steps do I have to take? What do I need to do, you know, as I prepare to relocate, you know, as I go to these different places and relocate, I need to bring that up in conversation. Hey, how is this going to affect, or what's going to happen when this happens? And then I can make preparations on that. I said a whole lot and still didn't say anything more than what I said before, but the truth of reality is I'm in the same spot that I was in October, you know, and
Let me correct you, though, my brother. You're not in the same position that you were in November, in October. Let me tell you why, and let me say this to anybody who's listening. The fact of the matter is the ones who are in the same spot are the ones that are not asking the two questions that you just asked, or more questions, but you just asked two questions. You said, what steps do I need to take? You said, what measures do I need to take, or do I need to put in place, or have you framed the question?
Right.
I want people to understand that means you are one step ahead of the game. You're not in the same place because your mind is thinking. God is giving you wisdom, okay, I got to do something. And the fact that you just said, and I want everybody to just grab this, hold on to it. What Brother Feaster just said was, I realize that I still have time.
Yeah.
If you realize that you still have time, then that means it ain't over. Come on, y'all. It ain't over when you realize that you still got time. Don't we preach this same thing Sunday after Sunday from the pulpit, bro?
Yeah.
We preach the same thing about salvation in Jesus. And I promise you, Jesus was Jesus dealt with the social aspects of life, not just the spiritual aspects of life.
Right.
Meaning they were interconnected. Right? So, right. I praise God that you said, you know what, I still got time. Amen. I still got time. So other people need to hear that, and prayerfully they do. Y'all got me fired up already.
I was just about to say the same thing. It's funny. You know, we normally don't get riled up in the first 20 minutes, but we got you riled up within the first 20 minutes. Go ahead, JR.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I do not have time to play in 2014.
Nope.
And for me, it's not about a new calendar year, but I'm just telling you, the things that God has done over this last couple of weeks in my life, the things that he's been showing me, there's no way that I can just say, you know what, I'm going to put my hand to the plow, but I'm going to keep on looking back. Already God has allowed me to cut off some dead weight. Already. And this ain't but the second of the month. So we are in a very good place because we're talking about it. We're having a conversation about it. We know that there's hundreds of people that listen to the show, and we praise God for them. So the reality is they may not be listening tonight. They may listen through the archives. God bless you however you do it. But if it sparks something in their mind, which settles something into their spirit, which causes them to do some action about whatever it is, that's an amen moment for me. That's a pleasing moment for God. I don't know why y'all got me preaching 20 minutes into the show. I don't understand it.
Wow.
Let me throw this out. We really don't need to have fear about what's about to happen.
Nope.
In a couple of weeks with not the government shutdown. Remember, we are the believers. We are the ones who have to be the ones that have to watch what we say. We have to be the ones that watch what we speak into the atmosphere, right?
Mm.
So we don't need to be speaking about a government shutdown. All we need to be doing is really thinking about these wahoos up in D.C. that are going to have to make a decision. And here's the reality. Regardless of which way they make a decision, we don't control it. But this is what we do control. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 3. And I don't know why I was listening to this. I've been dealing with Timothy for probably about the last 2 weeks now. Listen what is in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior. So guess what? What does that say? We don't need to be focusing on what Fox is saying, what MSNBC is saying about the Democrats and about the Republicans, about what they are going to do or what they're not going to do. Our charge is this: prayers, supplications, intercessions, and giving thanks to God for them. It doesn't matter, and everybody, you may not know me, but you're about to find out about me, those of you who are new to this. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. So I talk about both of them, meaning the decisions that are being made. The reality is we have a different charge to keep. We have a different responsibility. I'm talking about the believers. We have a different responsibility. So if we don't take it upon ourselves to do what, I'm going to say, what the word is saying that we're supposed to be doing with this situation and every other situation that deals with economics in our life, then if it goes the way that we don't want it to go, if it goes into a negative situation, then we ain't got nobody else to blame but ourselves. And I'm dropping the mic.
Well, I'm stepping in to pick the mic up because I'm so, man, I'm like, I don't know, the wine skin. Like when you put the wine in the wine skin, I feel like I'm about to bust because everything you're saying is so on point. And I just wanted to share a couple of notes that I've written down from our Watch Night New Year service that we had. And basically in 2013, for like the past couple of months, I just believe that the Lord was just saying just focus. You need to focus. And a lot of times we lose focus. You think about taking the PT test. Y'all know I ain't no runner. So for me, I really got to focus because when it gets time to the end, it's like you're so tired and you want to give up. But when you start focusing that you're almost at the end, you know what I'm saying, you start digging deep and you begin to dig that into that willpower, and you begin to dig deep into yourself to say, guess what, I'm about to make it. I'm about to handle my business. So that's one of the things. And so I've carried that over into 2014 to keep my focus straight, to focus on the things that are necessary. And just to share a couple of notes, the gentleman was talking about where David was saying, one thing that I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Well, if God gives us a desire, we need to continue to seek after that thing, to continue to seek after it. And, you know, if seeking after it is in his word, if he's giving you a desire to start a business, if he's giving you a desire to feed the homeless, to start a daycare, start seeking after that thing. And I think a lot of times we can get so caught up in looking back because we've forgotten the desires that God has given us. And when God has placed something on the inside of you, you're right, you may not know what to do. And I know Brother Feaster can definitely relate to me because this is something that I shared with him. But God will send people to you. He will send you to people that you never thought that would be able to give you what it is that you need based on the desires that he's given you. It may be just a desire to, I saw an email today, to lose 5 pounds in 6 weeks. But somebody might say, shoot, I can lose 5 pounds in 3. But you have somebody that it's going to take them the full 6 weeks. So what do they need to do in order to get that done? They got to stay focused. They got to keep their goals set above them. I like what Feaster said, you know, that you have time. But the thing is, do the people that God has placed in your life that you don't know about, do they have time? We say we have time, but if God has placed people in our lives, you know what I'm saying, that we have not even met, do they have the time? Do they have time to wait on us? And so that's one of the things that I've been thinking about, like, man, you know, I got to get it. Like, I got to get it. You know what I'm saying? And I like what you said, Nate, about, you know, we're not just looking at 2014, the calendar year, but we're looking at the time that we have. And so just some other things, he was just saying that God will just release the grace. And what comes out of my mouth determines my behavior and my actions. And so that one right there was a big eye-opener for me. What comes out of my mouth, what I speak, because I've thought about it, and I begin to form it into words, and so I've confessed it. So what I confess, what comes out of my mouth, is going to determine my behavior and my actions. And he asked several poignant questions. How is my personal development changing my thought process? Am I thinking God's thought when mountains stand in front of me? And so I will pose that question. When things come in this year, what is our thought going to be? Are they going to be thoughts of defeat? Or are they going to be thoughts of, I can make it, and I'm going to stay focused, and I got a support system, and I got people that love me, and that's going to be there cheering for me, and that's going to help me research this information so that I can get whatever it is that I need. And just understanding that what we do right now is not just for us, but it's also a multi-generational vision. It's something that far supersedes where we are right now, but it's for 3, 4, 5 generations, and not just looking at our bloodline generations, but those people that are going to come. You know, just like how you have, you know, with companies that you work for, you know, you may no longer be there, but what you did 5 years ago is probably something that's still being done. So just looking at where we are right now and just, you know, keeping our focus, and if part of a plan is, you know, to get a support system, a group of people that's going to be there for us, then that's what we got to do. And this is definitely a platform to do that. So if there's anybody that's listening, you know, if one of the things that you're looking at is, I don't have anybody that's going to listen to me, this is where you need to be. This is where you need to be calling into or sending messages to say, I got this idea, but I don't know if it makes sense. Can I just ask the question? Because somebody listening, somebody on the Facebook page is going to hear it and be able to help you, and it won't be dumb. And sometimes, like I was telling the young man today, what we say, you know, it might sound crazy to us, but when you share it with other people, even if it do sound far-fetched, we've had a lot of far-fetched things that have made millions and billions of dollars for people, and they didn't give up on it. We have the computer today because he didn't give up on that dream. So I just think our focus and what we speak out of our mouths is definitely going to help us
go from one dimension to the next and just taking what we're speaking and putting it down on paper. Now, if it's a mess, you know, you just, you know, it's your feet. You just keep that with you, you know. Write that down in your own personal journal. Don't share that with nobody unless you're getting prayer.
And let me throw this, let me say this. This came to me as you were talking about progress, Adia. The scripture that I read to you out of Luke chapter 9, verse 62, where it says, "He who puts his hand to the plow." One thing that I think is very important for us to put out there to everybody is, you can only push the plow as fast as it's willing to go and as fast as the energy that you have allows you to push. So here's the thing. When it talks about not looking back, there's a reason why it says not looking back. Because if you're pushing something forward but you're looking back, I said this to somebody the other day, I said the likelihood of you running over your own cow, which is meat and food, is very, very great. So you don't want to run over the things that are already lined up in your path designed to help you, not hinder you. We don't need people trying to move so fast. So when you talk about progress, sometimes I think there's some people out there that may be not understanding that you can move too fast for certain things. So and this came up to me when you started talking about starting a business and all of that. Those things take preparation, right, Adir? Those things take work. Most businesses are not successful in the first 2 years. Most businesses fail after between the second year and the fifth year. So that means there's going to have to be some preservation that's going to be required. There's going to have to be some discipline that's going to be required. So here's what I would say. Go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." When Jesus is talking about the door shall be opened because of the knocks, it is not knocking one time. So there may be some barriers that have to be stepped across. There may be some doors that have to be broken down. But we don't have to fight all those battles. It's not for us to fight those battles. It's for God to fight those battles. So we have to be spiritually connected to what's going on. Let me read you this something out of a book that I was reading. "There is a powerful relationship between our true spiritual condition and our attitude and actions concerning money and possessions." This is a book called Money, Possessions, and Eternity. So, again, those things are interconnected. And if we don't take the time, if those of you listening do not take the time to make sure that you're trying to plan it out the best that you can, giving God something to work with as he's able to provide everything else that he's able to give that you just can't see. Think about it. When Abram left back in Genesis 12, he left. He went away, and he did not have the whole plan directly there. Go ahead, Brother Feaster.
you turn it back to me. That's all both of y'all going. I don't know if I'm ready for the mic. Y'all doing some good stuff tonight. I'm being a student tonight because y'all have me actually thinking about. I'm doing more thinking tonight because I'm thinking about what y'all are saying and then thinking about preparing for this year's events and everything that's going on. But when you read the scripture, I'm going to tell you what hit me. When you read the scripture about, and then you gave your explanation about no man plows and looks back and turns back.
Right.
The first thing that popped in my head, and I don't know if this is what you said, because like I said, my mind started running. But I started thinking about, you know, when I used to help my grandmother, every summer grandma used to have a garden. Actually, had about two or three of them in the yard. Every summer she would have a garden, and she would not let us do certain things in the garden because she knew that, number one, we was going to make a game out of it and wasn't going to be serious and we was going to mess up stuff. Number two, she was serious about her garden, you know. So those two things, she would not allow us to do certain things. One of the things she wouldn't allow us to do is, well, we didn't have a plow, but the plow in. She wouldn't allow us to make the lines for the vegetables or whatever she was planting to go in. She'll allow us to put the seed in the ground and cover the seeds up, but she never would allow us. I don't think she ever allowed me to, at my young age, my immature state, my childish behavior, I don't think she ever allowed me to make the lines, to do the plowing in preparation for the seeds to come. And the little bit that I know about farming, the little bit I know about planting, is those lines are very important. Those lines are equally as important as turning over the soil. You know, those lines are equally important taking the weeds out, as getting the rocks out. Because if you cross your lines, you're going to cross your plants. Some of those roots don't match well with other roots, with other plants. So those lines, and if you really want to look at it, it's maximizing the space that you have. So as you started talking about plowing and not looking back, you're never going to get a straight line looking back. Because in that time, they was looking at it with the oxen in front pulling the plow, and you had to direct the oxen in the right way to go in the right, you know, so that they can make the line straight and have the right space between them. If you look back, then the oxen are going to take the – because they're feeling – because the oxen are looking ahead. They're always looking ahead. But if you look back, what they're doing is they're going off the feeling that they have from the reins that's connected to the plow. So when you look back, you're automatically going to look over your left or your right shoulder, and whichever direction you look back, over your left or over your right, that's the direction that the plow was going to go, and then that's going to direct the things that's leading to go in that direction. So it's a chain effect. It's a ripple effect. You know, and being the runner that I am, I remember somebody told me that every time you look back, you take off 0.4 seconds of your run. That's why you never see runners. If you look at the Olympics, you never see those runners look back. You may see them cut the corner of their eye, but you never see them look back. Because in the Olympics, in any sport, I ain't going to say any sport, but in sports like that, 0.4 seconds may not seem nothing to us, but you have people that have won a race by 0.1 second. So just imagine if you ran your perfect race, but yet you look back and lost that 0.4 seconds, and that's what cost your race.
Even with that, I mean, but the race that we're living called life or more of a marathon, how many people are still looking back, you know, and have not progressed forward?
Yep.
They've not lost 0.4 seconds. I mean, they lost years. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people have lost years, I mean, myself included, because we're still looking at, you know, mulling over, well, should I do this or should I not do it? Or, you know, what are people going to think? Or I don't have all of the resources, or, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be good at it. I mean, that's looking back, because you already have given what you need to do. It's just the fact of being able to do it, you know. And I was just thinking about, like, the book club, my book club that I started. I kind of slowed down because my schoolwork picked up and, you know, Thanksgiving was coming, and I went out of town for Thanksgiving, and I was, like, you know, back on the grind with schoolwork and studying. And I said, you know what, God? I said, I'm so glad that I never not started the book club. And I know that don't even make sense. That ain't make sense in my head. But I'm like, peace, it sounded good. But I'm so glad that I never not started the book club, and because now I know that it can be done. And so until we do something, we won't know if it won't work, but you got to do it. And I was thinking about that. I said, you know what, January, I said, when I get back to Kansas, I'm going to call everybody up. I'm not sending no emails out because people are like, they can't respond to it. I said, but I'm going to call every lady on that phone. I'm going to leave messages for them. I'm going to call them back until I reach them or until they call me back. I said, because I've already started it, and I know that it works. I know it. So there is no, well, I'm scared, or I'm not quite sure if I got what it takes. I know I have what it takes. I know I have the resources. I know that there are women that are supporting me. I just, sometimes you building that momentum. And I think a lot of times when it comes to progress, we just got to build that momentum.
And that mm-hmm. takes, that's the hardest part, you know, is building that momentum, because it's like a plane. Somebody explained it to me. When a plane starts to take off, it's not on just, you know, 50 feet of a airplane route or whatever you call it, I don't even know, airstrip. It's not just 50 feet. I mean, you got a good mile or more depending on the type of plane that you have. So if you know that you have something that's big, well, it may take you a lot of momentum. But once you get in the air, when that plane takes off, when that thing that you have takes off and you begin to soar, you can, the wheels come up, you know, they tell you can take the seatbelt light comes off, you know, and people can get up and move around on the plane because of the momentum. It's not to say that you're not going to hit some turbulence or have some storms, but the plane can fly above it or can fly below or even around it. And sometimes you may have to fly through the storm. But by golly, when that momentum comes, when you get it, you know that you can do it because you've experienced it. And a lot of us haven't experienced what those things that we desire because we're still looking back. We're losing 0.4 seconds every single time. And those 0.4 seconds turn into days, minutes, days, hours, months, and years. So I love what you just said. That is just, I mean, that's just awful. I'm just, like, so happy. I am.
And let me throw this in here. You know, the overarching question that I put out at the beginning of the show is, what is it going to take for your economic situation to progress? And so hopefully everybody's able to understand so far that it is about asking questions. It is about evaluating. And let me just go to the next question that I wanted to bring out was, will the progress be for your community? And I think that's a very, very good question for every last one of us who are concerned about something other than ourselves. Well, that should be every last one of us who are ministers and pastors, every last one of us who are working in the ministry for the kingdom's sake, to build the kingdom, to help hurting people, living by the Bible, and all of that. Will the progress be for your community? See, here's the thing. A lot of people on New Year's Eve, and I'm not saying this in a condemning or judgmental way. I'm saying this because I know this to be fact. A lot of people go to New Year's Eve service, and what you hear a lot of times is, bless me in 2014, God. Increase my territory in 2014. One of us will get up in the pulpit and speak a blessing over God is going to give you increase. Well, here's the thing. God is never concerned about giving us a bunch of stuff so that we are the only ones that benefit from it.
That's right.
It is it counteracts everything in the New Testament, at least in the book of Acts, about what church and community is supposed to be about. Jesus spoke about having too much stuff, did he not? Mm-hmm. You need to take some of that stuff and you just need to go ahead and give it away so you can follow me. So there is clear biblical scriptures that we can deal with that talk about stuff. Do you want that promotion so that you can go out there and floss? Do you want that promotion so you can just get out of debt, but not give back to the people who were praying for you while you were in debt? Give back to the people that gave to you when you needed it, when you were down on your luck. So the question that I throw out there is, will the progress be for your community? I
it's
love
funny
it when we
say
have
that, yeah. Yeah, it's funny you say that, because that was actually one of the things that not to start a dialogue about this, but to use this as a point, because this could, I think this might could take us down a rat hole. But I was actually thinking about, I always do that, I know y'all laughing at me. I was actually thinking about, there was conversation on Facebook, and I read a couple of articles. Harry Belafonte is really criticizing Jay-Z and Beyonce because with all the money, the influence that they have, and they have not given back to the black community. And that actually sparked up some things in me. And one of the questions that was asked off of that article was, are we obligated to give back? And my answer quickly is yes, but then the next question came, who obligates us? Is it something, you know, so to make a long story short, like I said, to keep from going down the rabbit hole to get where I'm trying to go, what it really did for me was spark my part in the community. So what I did was earlier this last year, I signed up to do some volunteer work with an organization that helps the Army everywhere we go. And I never had or took the opportunity to volunteer. So I put in an application, got approved, and it just never worked out to where I could do it. Well, lo and behold, Christmas time come around. We on a half-day schedule. I get the emails saying these are the opportunities and time to volunteer. So I go and volunteer. And as they finally meet me and we're talking, I tell them that I'm on my way to relocate, and they say, hey, you know, we're over there too. So one of the things that I've been thinking about is when I relocate to continue on what I've already started. So my answer to what you're just saying is, yes, I plan to do something back to the community. That's part of my 2014. I plan to do some volunteer work to help to put back into the community. And I was thinking about other avenues and other ways that I could do it. One of the things, you know, Dia brings up all the time, one of the things I love to do is to run. And I didn't think that running could do anything. Well, there's an app that when I run, they track my miles, and certain businesses per mile give so much money to particular organization. So although I'm out here doing one of the things that I love to do, running, I'm also still contributing to different organizations. So there are things out there that can be done. You just got to find it. And those are two things that I'm at. And also another thing I'm looking to do is when I relocate to start a running club with one of the organizations that I, well, one of the groups that I run with here in North Carolina. So I have actually, I just never really thought about it. So you said that, JR. I actually have thought about giving back to the community this year.
And I think what you said, it may not resonate to a lot of folk, but here's how it resonated to me. The fact of running contributes to being healthier.
Right.
Being healthier contributes to the socioeconomic status of the community, because when we are healthier, then we're not spending more money on medication.
Right.
We're allowing ourselves to be positioned in a better place. And don't get me wrong, I know people who go through sicknesses who are healthy and things happen. But I'm talking about the one who just wants to be lazy and doesn't want to do anything. The one who doesn't want to take care of him or herself. The one who wants to smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day, and then when they get lung cancer, now we are praying for that individual. But they haven't positioned themselves or taken themselves out of that type of position, so it doesn't affect them economically, because it affects the rest of the community.
Right.
It affects the rest of the community, so I can see that. So let me give this to this whole notion of, or this question of, will the progress be for your community? And again, we're talking about your economic situation. If you look at Ecclesiastes 4 through chapter 4, 9 through 12, chapter 4, verse 9 through 12, it says this: two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. Verse 6 says, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. We all can relate to that from being in the military, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how can one be warm by themselves? Any person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. There are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So if I went to the King James Version, it said a twofold cord is strong, but a threefold cord is not easily broken.
Yeah.
So when I look at this economic situation in relation to the community, and I say, okay, I want some progress. I want God to give me some progress. And I ask that question, will the progress be for my community? That's real deal. I can't take that lightly because, again, nobody gets anywhere by themselves. The fact that I am in every position or the fact that every position that I have held, I didn't get there by myself. Whether it's from the ministry, whether it's in the corporate world, whether it's in the military. I got to none of those places by myself. Yes, God was involved. God allowed every last one of them to happen. But I didn't get there by myself. Somebody had to accept an application here or there. Somebody had to send in some grades here and there. Somebody had to make sure my paychecks were on time here and there. So the things about trying to progress economically, I want to deal with poverty. I don't want to be able to think about it. If I have this mindset or a person has a mindset that they don't want to live in poverty anymore, right, that means they're wanting God to progress them out of a poverty state.
Right.
But why should our God, the God that I serve, take somebody out of poverty if they're not going to do anything for somebody else that's in poverty? Let me tell you what Nelson Mandela said. Overcoming poverty is not a task of charity. It's an act of justice. Like slavery and apartheid, poverty is not natural. It is man-made, and it can be overcome and eradicated by the actions of human beings. Sometimes it falls on a generation to be great. You can be that great generation. Let your greatness blossom. Don't know when Nelson Mandela said it, but I have it as a quote, and I know that he said it. That's dealing with progress economically for your community. So the question is, why do you want whatever you want? Do you want it just for you, or do you want it to be able to benefit somebody other than yourself? And let me throw this last one out, Brother Feaster. Will the progress be for your church or your ministry? Hey, I ain't got time to play 2014. I'm serious. Will the progress be for the church or ministry? Let me tell you something in that same book I'm reading. Let me tell you a quote or something that I read out of that book. It says, any Christian leaders who resist financial accountability make themselves suspect. Any Christian leaders who resist financial accountability make themselves suspect. We know from being on the show since 2012, this show, the PRF table, that there's a lot of people that have a lack of trust in the church. And it's not just in the church, it's leadership of the church, whatever the church is. And I'm not saying this is every church, but whatever that church is, that those people who have called in, who have shared, whether it was pastors, whether it was laypersons, talking about stuff, whether it was articles that we read. So we as leaders in the church, we have to be willing to say, you know what, let's be transparent, because we cannot afford to have any more barriers up for folks not wanting to be a part of the body of Christ and not wanting to be a part of the church because of lack of transparency and accountability. God cannot be pleased. He's not displeased with the person that says, I don't want to deal with this foolishness. I'm going to let y'all have this church thing because I don't know where the money's going. Well, doggone. Let them know where the money's going. How hard is that? Because here's what I really, really know. Here's what I really know in my heart. Everybody who talks about it doesn't matter where the money goes in the church. As long as I give it, that's all that matters. But it's some of those same yazoos who talks about accountability with our federal government. Come on, man. You can't straddle the fence. You can't straddle the fence. And let me take it a step further. I don't know if this is in line with what I'm talking about, but I'm going to say it. You can't be hypocritical in talking about the budget of the government when you ain't got a budget in your own household. So we gotta be real. Again, this thing is still talking about progress. Will the progress benefit or be for the church in the ministry? So that means as God continues to bring progress with the PRF table, right, and continues to send us to places that we never would have imagined, as God continues to do that, Brother Feaster, it can never be about me. It always has to be about the ministry. It never can be about Brother Dunlap. It never can be about Brother Feaster. It always has to be about the ministry. Because ministry is not about me, it's about people. You got any final comments, Brother Feaster?
Man, I think I done said enough for tonight, and surprisingly, I ain't got too much more to say.
Let me go here. Let me read what the definition of progress is. Progress is movement as toward a goal. Progress means movement as in to advance. Progress means development or growth. Let me stop there. When you talk about transformation, when you talk about change, that's development or growth. So progress without change is stagnation. It's going nowhere. It's a falsehood. Progress is steady improvement. So that means it doesn't have to all come all at one time. You may see some progress after 1 month. Then you may not see or feel like there's progress going on for another 2 months. But don't you know when we're standing still, when our hearts are right with God, when we're trying to do all that we possibly can, when men are standing, when men and women are standing in front of us, blocking the things that we're trying to do for God, don't you know when our hearts are right, God is still moving. So guess what? I still consider that to be steady improvement, bro. And here's the last definition. A ceremonial journey made by a sovereign through his or her realm. We have to celebrate the small steps, Brother Feaster. We got to celebrate the small victories, Brother Feaster. Because if we're not willing to celebrate the small steps, let me give you an example. Nobody wants to come into your church to hear what the church ain't doing. Can that just stop for 2014? Lord, let it stop. Let it just bridle some tongues in 2014. If I don't see progress, if I don't see that things are moving in a positive direction, why do I want to be a part of it? Give you an example. When I was in seminary, we had a board for jobs. Pastors, one column, associate pastors, another column, teachers, Christian education teachers, another column, part-time positions. And there was a church that said they were looking for a pastor, and they had 12 members. And I'm standing there looking at the board one day, and this brother, and I said, man, 12 members. And this brother said to me, man, I would never do that. They wouldn't be able to afford to pay me. That lets me know this individual did not quite understand at that particular time about progress. Because the reality is, if Jesus can do something with 12 folk, why can't God today do the same thing with 12 folk today? There are 12 folk that can bless you for the rest of your life greater than 100,000 can. So progress always doesn't look like what we think it's supposed to look like, Brother Feaster.
Right.
It doesn't always look like that. It doesn't always look like that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you can expect from the PRF table for 2014 and hopefully continuing on beyond that. We have to be about kingdom business. We have to be about God's business. This is what, when I say we, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, myself, as the host of this PRF table. Not saying that we played around last year, but we had to kind of tweak some things. But today and moving forward, I'm promising you, we can't talk about the things that we're talking about, the things that God has given us, and not be doing the same things that we're talking to you. You know what that makes us?
Hypocrites.
And I really don't have time. I really don't have time to be a hypocrite. Not saying that I will never be one, but I sure as heck do not have the time to continue to be a hypocrite when I'm realizing that I am being one. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we thank you so much for being with us. We pray that something that we said tonight will help you in your life. We pray that something that we said tonight will help your community. We pray that something that we said tonight will help your church or your ministry. Join us next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. This is J.R. Dunlap, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders saying, God bless you and we love you. Let me go to and let you know what song we're going to play at the end of the show for those of you who think that the show is over. We always play at the end of the show, we play a song that's something that is inspirational. Hopefully it's going to do something to bless you further in your life. It's something that Sister Adia said. She brought it up and started talking about prayer. Brother Feaster brought up a situation with the government having to make a vote in a couple of weeks. I brought up the scripture in 1 Timothy. So this song is called Prayer Will Change Things. If we want to make some forward progress, then we're going to have to pray about it. We can't just suspect a guy coming out like a genie in a bottle. So God bless you. We love you. We'll talk to you next week.
The power of prayer. Every time I call him, he will be right there. Yeah, may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. So tell me what you're waiting on. Why don't you give prayer a try?